There is one thing that actually is happening to the church of God, and it has actually lingered so much to the point that we've accepted it as the norm. Do you know that the festivals of the church, or the festive period of the church, is determined by the world and not necessarily by the word of God? We celebrate the birth of Jesus in such a manner that the world has crept in, the world has hijacked it from us, the world has commercialized it, and we are very much comfortable with it. Don't get me wrong, the birth of Jesus Christ is unique. Born of a virgin, that actually cannot be disputed. Even the Quran talks about it. The day of his birth was unique. Angels came in order to proclaim it. And the Bible says that the choir of angels came to sing of his glory. What a wonder. And I know that before men, as we perceive it, the place where Jesus Christ was born was not befitting to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to be born there. Even the wise men from the east attested to this, because when they came and they lost their way, where did they go? They went to Herod's palace. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords must have been born there. And lo and behold, he was born in a stable, a manger, where animals are kept. The birth of Jesus Christ is celebrated by the church more than anything else. But I see that the Lord Jesus Christ himself will not want us to emphasize that above the fact that he came to die. He came to fulfill a mission, and the mission was his focus all through his lifetime. He was facing Jerusalem, where he will be crucified, and that the church of God must never forget. And so when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, I believe that we have about four aspects that we need to get the message of what the Lord's Supper is all about. The first one is the message of looking back. Looking back. Looking back at what? Looking back at the cross. What Jesus Christ wants his church to do, and to always remember and never to forget, is his death on our behalf. The greatest sacrifice for mankind was made. Jesus Christ offered himself in order for him to defeat the powers of sin, of hell, of Satan, and of death. We may forget his birth. We may forget his going around doing good. We may forget his teachings. But the church of God must never, never, ever forget the price the Lord paid for our freedom. The song says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. The shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ saved me. And let me actually stress this again. His birth did not save me. He's going around working miracles, doing good, teaching people, did not save me. But his death saved me. I am what I am because it pleased the Lord to come to this world in order to fulfill his mission. The Bible says that he humbled himself even unto death. Death on the cross. And that pleased God. You see, when Jesus Christ was in the garden and he was praying and he was saying, Father, oh, if it be that this cup will roll over me, will roll away from me, oh, I will love it. But not my will, but thine will be done. It pleased the Father to slay him. And the church of God must never forget it. Without that, we are no church. If we forget that, we are done for. When I read through the scriptures and I see that wonderful verse, which is a summary of everything in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I tell you what, the giving of his son was not just coming to earth to say, go and taste what actually it looks like. But the giving is going to die. Die for them. The sacrifice of rams cannot please me anymore. Your death, your shedding of your blood will please me. For there's no remission of sin without the shedding of the blood. And I must confess to you, you see, the Jews will not want to forget the Passover. But you know something? The major difference between the Passover and what we are experiencing as Christians is just this. During the Passover, the Jews were saved from dying. It was the death of the firstborn of the Egyptians that actually, you know, became a thing of horror in Egypt. And they were glad that they were exempted from it. Now, with Christians, if they will not forget that, then Christians must not forget this, that by the death of the Son of God, I am set free from eternal death when I come to him. He will embrace me and bring me to his side. What a wonderful Savior we have. Satan was defeated not by the birth of Christ. Satan was defeated not by the pronouncement of God on Christ Jesus after his baptism. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let me tell you what, if Satan had been defeated by that, he would not have gone to him to tempt him. But because Satan can never be all-knowing, he actually planned his own defeat by wanting to get rid of Jesus, and he headed for it. And lo and behold, the Bible says that on the cross of Calvary, Jesus put who to a public shame? Satan. We must not forget the cross. We must not. Not the cross that we put on as, you know, a fashion, but the cross of agony that the Savior went through on your behalf. the world will want us to forget it. Islam will want us to deny it. For they will say that, oh, it wasn't Jesus Christ, it wasn't the Son of God that died on the cross, it was someone that looked like him. But we say, Jesus, the Son of God, our Lord and our Savior, the one that actually we cherish and we believe in, died on the cross. The wisdom of man would not want us to embrace it. In fact, they want to ridicule us for believing it. But let's read together from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1, 18. For the message of the cross is what? Foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who have been saved, it is what? The power of God. The power of God. What about verse 23? Verse 23 of the same book. But we preach Christ, what? Crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block. And to the Greeks, foolishness. The message that we need to carry is not, hey, a Savior has been born. We know that. And it's not Christmas that we still have a cradle and so on and so forth. Jesus is no more a child in the manger. The message we carry is the message of Easter. And Easter is least celebrated by the church. When it comes to Easter period, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, where do you find Christians? It's still at home. Because it's not glamorous. But Christmas, oh, we come to church. The second thing that I see about the message of the Lord's Supper is the upward looking. We need to look up. We first look back to what happened 2,000 years ago. And now we look up. Why? Because the Christ that was crucified rose again from the dead and ascended to heaven, alive forevermore. And therefore, I can look up unto him for everything that I will ever need. Not necessarily material things, but that is not an exemption. But I look up unto him for my spiritual upkeep. I look up unto him for so many other things. Let's see a passage that actually became a disturbing passage for those who heard him when he first spoke it. John chapter 6, beginning from verse 54. John chapter 6, 54. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Go on. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats, who feeds on me, will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers, ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Now, if you read on, you see that it became a very disturbing thing for those who actually heard him, and they departed from him, and he had to turn to the 12. Will you also depart? What are we saying here? Everything we'll ever need you know, can be found in Jesus. As we come to this table, I am not in any way saying that we are eating the very flesh of Jesus or the very blood of Jesus. Whatever it is, whatever your belief, sincerely speaking, you are free to believe anything. But one thing I know is this, Jesus Christ is everything that I can ever hope for. In him, I live. In him, I move. In him, I have my being. And because of this, I can look up unto him for strength. When I'm weak, I turn to him. And I can say, like Paul actually was led to write in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I am confused and I've lost my direction, I can also look into the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 tells me that he is the pioneer and perfecter of my faith. When we look up unto him, we see that we have true life. He alone can offer us true life. Whoever does not know Jesus is merely existing. But when I come to Jesus, now I know what it means to really live. Because the light of God has shone into my darkness, and I can see clearly. I was opportuned to actually go to the movies on Friday. And by the way, I did not, you know, escape from the office. It was my free day. My wife and I and my sister-in-law, we went to the movies. Can pastor go for movies? Yes, they can. Somehow, I will say that by God's own plan, we went and watched a movie that we did not know much about. We only knew the fascinating, title, The Birth of a Nation. The Birth of a Nation is about slavery in America. A true life story. And the blacks were treated less than animals. It's a thing to watch, really. And I saw something about man. The best that any black man could be called or was called was what? Boy. Hey, boy. Then it came, you know, to be worse, from boy to a nigger. And this grown-up boys fought for their freedom. They fought by killing their masters only to make matters worse because they left the surviving ones to mourn ridicule and pain. Not so with Jesus. All things will always be for your good in Jesus Christ. They fought and killed, wanting to gain freedom. But man cannot fight for his own freedom, especially from the shackles of Satan. You cannot fight for your freedom from man, not to talk about the devil, who is a very, very bad devil. I tell you what, I see in Christ that which I cannot do for myself, that everything has been done on my behalf. And therefore, whatever man may do, they may kill this body, they may actually disgrace me to the point that, you know, they see me as a nobody, but I see myself as a somebody only in Christ. Why? He is my maker and my deliverer. I pray sincerely that those who have not known Jesus will come to know him. Then this that we set before us should actually make us to look inward. We have looked backward. We have looked upward. We need to look inward. The Bible says we need to examine ourselves when we take the Lord's Supper. And what actually are we examining? We need to think about how well we have lived for Christ. How well am I living for Christ? The one who bought me has every right to claim everything about me. I belong to him, not to myself again. And that Paul expressed also, the day he believed in Jesus Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ saved him, and he said that now I am no longer alive to myself, that is, I only live in Christ. Are we keeping his words to observing to do all that he commanded us to do? As we are seated now, are we living in obedience to his will for us? Do we love one another as we should? Husbands, do you love your wife? Wives, do you love your husband? Children, do you love your parents? Parents, do you love your children? The spirit of hate, the spirit of looking down on others, usually can be found from the home, transferred to the bigger home, church. How much do I care about the brother or sister sitting close to me now? Do I even know anything about him or her? Do I care to know? How much love do I give to God Almighty who made me? How well do I worship him? Is my worship of my God sincere and true? Do I pay much attention to serving my God? Last week Wednesday, we talked briefly about, in a Bible study, we talked about true worship. And we came to this conclusion. And I pray sincerely that this conclusion will ring a bell in your heart. And you will not take it, you know, without any much thought. True worship, we said, comes from knowing God. The more you know about God, the more you appreciate him. And the more you appreciate him, the deeper you worship him. And the deeper you worship him, the more he's glorified. And when God is glorified by you, you are a blessed child. Look inward. Have I met with the requirements of Jesus Christ? Living a holy life, acceptable unto him. Living a life that will make others to know that indeed I have met with Christ. Am I? Lastly, the Lord's Supper should make us to look forward. We look backwards, we look upwards, we look inward, and we look forward. What are we looking for? Looking forward. We are in expectation of his coming again. We believe the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And I thank God because call him a prophet, call him a good man, call him a teacher, call him whatever, in whatever religion that actually you may embrace, Jesus Christ is the only one coming back. Why? He's the only one who was dead. Now is alive. And alive forevermore. He's coming back. And the Bible wants us to know that when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are proclaiming that fact. We are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. His death must not be forgotten, remember. Never forget it. Once you forget it, you take things too lightly for your own damnation. Martin Luther King Jr. fought for freedom. Upon his death, guess what? Emancipation. Well, I think actually they were emancipated before then, but the signing of the bill to free the blacks came. Do you know that many of the blacks in America now have forgotten the fight that went on to bring freedom to them? Huh? They have forgotten, and therefore they are still very much laid back. Christians, if we forget the death of Christ, sincerely speaking, Satan will torment us. The church of God cannot be the church of God. Why? It is the price paid upon us that we have forgotten. And therefore, we become a social club. May Ikoyi Baptist Church never turn to that. May we continue to be the body of Christ, drinking of his blood and eating of his flesh, being part of him, because we are part of Christ. We have shared in his death. We have shared in his resurrection. We are going to share in his life, and we are even sharing already in his life. And looking forward, what should that make us to do? We must be serious about proclaiming him. 2 Corinthians 5:11. See what it says. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we do what? We persuade men. Let me tell you what. God is loving. God is good all the time. But God also is a consuming fire. Knowing therefore the terror of God, we persuade men. And the persuasion is actually this: come to the light, come to life, come to Jesus. In him all things pertaining to this life and the life to come will be given to you. Deliberate witnessing. How much have you done this year? Before you enter into your liberty or to your jubilee, I pray that you have something to show to Christ.